weekend. We're glad you're with us this morning here at Columbia Methodist Church. And as we come, just a few reminders about our Wednesday night meal, 6 o'clock. I believe it's a hot dog barbecue Wednesday, so come 6 o'clock Wednesday. Good time of fellowship. We had about 40-plus this past Wednesday, and it was good just to come and see everybody. Had ham and macaroni and cheese and a good time of good food and good fellowship with one another. So encourage you to come out. If you don't want to eat, come in and just hang out with fellowship and get to know people that come from the community, from the senior center, and individuals that come from the church, and just spend some time chatting with each other and catching up with each other. It's a great time of fellowship. If you don't want to come and eat because you ate at home or something, still come anyway and be able to enjoy some time together. So Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Also, just a reminder about summer camp, that if you have a student or you have a child or know of a student or a child that like to go to summer camp, the registration packets are at the Welcome Center as well as Credenza for Pocono Plateau and Gretna Glen. The Impact team will pay for half of the camp for kids and for the youth. And then if you see me afterwards, I can get you information, as my old church will also be paying for half of the cost as well. So basically, any children or youth from the church get to go to camp for free. That's between like a $400 and $500 value. So please see myself or Lori Wenders if you're registering a child for camp. That way we can make sure you guys get the discount and get registered, so we can make sure that whatever camp, Gretna Glen or Pocono Plateau or even Camp Inaba, that they'll be able to get the information as well as the check, so that we can sponsor our kids and our youth here from Columbia Methodist Church. Just a reminder, too, that this coming week we'll have a new birthday list out for next Sunday, an anniversary list, as well as other information. So please take those, and hopefully next week we'll have a new directory out that's updated with phone numbers and things. That'll be printed out and put out there next week. So when you come in next week, look at the Welcome Center and Credenza. If you have a joy or a concern, please use the green prayer card and drop that in the offering plates, and we'll make sure that we are praying for those requests. And if you're at home and you have a request, please also just let us know by messaging us, emailing us, or also just putting it in the chat box. It is Memorial Day weekend this weekend. It's a time in which that we want to pause in our busyness of lives. It's a time where we see a lot of things going on in our world right now. A time where we are looking at those individuals that have given their lives to serve, to protect our country, as well as to go and to protect the borders of other countries from aggressions of individuals who decide that they just kind of want to come in and take over. We're seeing that right now in the Ukraine, and as a result, we're seeing many of our soldiers that are being shipped over to Europe to train and to get ready for any possible incursions that could occur there. So Memorial Day weekend is a time in which we want to pause. So remember all those individuals who have given their lives and lost their lives on the battlefield for us because of giving their sacrifice, that we could be here today and worship freely and leave this church freely and go about our business freely, to be able to have the freedom of speech, the freedom to do other things that we take for granted so many different times in our lives. So this morning, let us pause, and as we do so, let us look to the screen for our video tribute to those that have given their lives for our country. Let us pray together. Lord, we come today on this Memorial Day weekend, and we want to give you thanks and praise for those men and those women that have laid down their lives to protect our freedoms. Because so many times we forget, and so many times we say, well, we're entitled, it's my right. And Lord, we would not have the freedoms that we have today if it wasn't for those men and those women who stepped up and said that I will serve and I will protect and I will give my life so that we are able to enjoy the freedoms that we have. We give you thanks for those individuals that have stepped up to answer that call. We want to pray for those families that have lost loved ones, that you continue to strengthen them and that you continue to be with them and that you continue to hold them close to you during this time. And Lord, we also want to lift up to those that are serving currently in the armed forces, Lord, that might be deployed around the world or even here around the states, that you would be with them, Lord, as well. Be with their families as they're not sure when that call is going to come, when they're going to be deployed. Be with all our individuals that are serving in the reserves, that you would be with them as they've committed their time to be called up at any time as well when needed. And we give you thanks, God, for those that have served, that are our veterans as well, and for the dedication for our country and giving their time and their lives as well. Today we come before you and we ask that we would never forget those individuals, Lord, that have laid down their lives for us so that we could be here today and that we can enjoy the rights that we have. We come before you now, God, and we ask that you would be in this time of worship together, that we come not only in this Memorial Day to give thanks for those who have laid down their lives, but we come and we give thanks to you for laying down your life too, that we might be free and have freedom and enjoy the freedom in Christ. So God, be with us during this day, and may you be pleased with the worship we give to you now. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Children can leave for kids' own worship if there are any children here at this time. So please stand as we start our time of worship together. As we sing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, may you lift up your worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Seed of Israel's chosen race, now ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord. Let every tongue and every tribe responsive to his call. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with all the sacred throng we at his feet may fall, and we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. And crown him Lord of all.
Lord. We worship you. We crown you, Lord of all of our lives. King of kings, Lord of lords, we come this morning. We worship you. For you are our only King, forever and ever.
Our God and firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground, the nations rise and fall. Kingdoms, what strong now shaken, we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Yes, Lord, you are the victorious King over all.
Unmatched in all your wisdom, in love and justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations. Our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. Whoa, we trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever, forevermore. We lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Thank you, Lord, that you are the victorious King. We're going to lift up our banner of praise.
Lift our banner high, and we lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high, and we lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Forever, God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Thank you, Lord. It's so good to come together and worship our victorious King. We have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to celebrate. And what he did for us on the cross to show his great love for us.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall end. For me.
was in the garden. He prayed, "Not my will, but thine." He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Come on, sing it out. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died all alone. How wonderful, how wonderful, and my song shall
to look forward to one day in glory.
And when with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. We sing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
One more time, come on, sing it out.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
And we come together and we thank you, Jesus, for your love for us and for what you did for us on the cross. We bless your name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated.
Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we might hear from you today. We pray, Lord, the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in your sight, O God. Amen. It's good to see everybody here this weekend, a Memorial Day weekend, as we come and we take a break from our activities to come and to worship together. And as we reflect on why we are the church, what the church is, that we are reminded that we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are his body, and we are the ones that do his work in the world as we grow our relationship with him and with each other. That the church is just not just a group of friends that comes together once a week to catch up on things, but we are a family as a church. That we are a family bearing each other's burdens as a church, coming together wherever we might be from, wherever we might live, to come to this place, not just as a social club, but as a place to come, to encourage one another and lift up each other and to come and worship our Lord and Savior. We are here gathering this morning where many other churches around the nation are gathering and around the world are gathering, because that is what the body of Christ is. A family that is not just a local family, but a family that is broader and nation that goes across the globe. Sometimes as the church, we do a really good job at being the church, and sometimes we've done a really lousy job at being the church, representing who Christ is and the message that Christ wants us to take to the world. I'm sure that each and every one of us this morning that are sitting here and watching online have our own personal story, that we can account to about a church experience that we might have had that was a very positive experience, and one in which we choose to forget because it wasn't the best church experience we've had. That many individuals today might not be here because they might have had a church experience that wasn't so positive in one way or the other. And so we want to be thinking about those individuals today. We want to be thinking about what it means to be the church, that the reason we're here is because as a body of Christ, we are all welcome to God's table. We are all welcome in God's kingdom, and we are all welcome here at Columbia Methodist Church. We are excited to be together, being stronger together, and coming alongside each other together to make a difference in this world and our community in which we live. I think as we come out of the pandemic and as we begin to move forward with life after the pandemic, I think the one lesson that I was reminded of during that time of the pandemic, and I'm sure you were as well, is how much we need each other. That we need each other. That we can't do life isolated and alone and by ourselves. As much as we thought we could, as much as we thought we could just do our own thing and stay at home, that we reminded that we need people and we need each other. You know the old cliche goes, you don't know what you got till it's gone. That was a theme of an old 80s rock song as well, when the individual was talking about the girlfriend and said he didn't know what he had till he was gone. You know, it's so true in our lives, though. We don't know how good we have it. We don't know what we have until we actually lose it. And we begin to look back and say, how do I get that back again? There's a lot of truth in that cliche. It's a reminder for all of us that we have gone through one of the most difficult times the past 2.5 years. And we are still going through a very difficult time in our nation, where our nation is divided over politics, race, and religion. We are living through a difficult time as we see there's a war going on in Ukraine with Russia and trying to figure out, well, how do we as United States support them, and how do we make sure that we toe that fine line, that boundary of getting involved but not getting involved. We are reminded about the tragic shootings that just occurred in Texas this week at the elementary school and others that have occurred throughout our nation. We are reminded of the fact that in this world in which we live, that we're going through a very difficult time, and that we have gone through a difficult time. And as a result, it reminds us of the value and the importance of our need for connection to God and our connection with each other during these times. It's a reminder of our lifetime that we probably will never see things like we have seen now ever again. I remember as a kid growing up in the 80s when President Reagan was around, I remember when he got shot, and I thought, wow, I'll probably never see anything ever like that again that is horrible than trying to assassinate the president. And many of you have lived through the assassination of JFK. And for me, that was probably the worst thing I thought I'd ever see in my lifetime. And here I am each and every day going, wow, I never thought my children would have to see the things that they're seeing and experience the things that they're experiencing in school, in their world, and when they turn on the TV. It's a reminder to me that in our lifetime, in my lifetime, in their lifetime, that we need to stay strong together, and we need community. We need each other. This morning, if you would look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes is a book from Solomon, King Solomon, if you remember correctly. God gave him wisdom. Solomon was an individual who did not use that wisdom very well at first. And as a result, to the end of his reign, he decided to rededicate his life to God and began to use his wisdom accordingly. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes to give us some of that wisdom. It is one of the best-known wisdom books next to the book of Proverbs. And it's an individual here with Solomon who is saying, let me give you some advice of what I've learned and how to live life. Ecclesiastes can be a little hard to read sometimes because it can be very bleak in spots and not very encouraging. Sometimes it'll talk about the emptiness of how life is. Sometimes it'll ultimately walk through and look at the pursuit of searching after God and the reward of searching after God. And other times you read it and you say, what does that mean? I have no idea. It's a very complex book. Well, that brings us to our passage today of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, which I think is important to us as the body of Christ. Hear the words of King Solomon. Two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him. But it's bad for the person who is all alone and falls because no one is there to help. If two lie down together, they'll be warm, but a person alone will not be warm. An enemy might defeat one person, but two people together can defend themselves. A rope that is woven of three strings is very hard to break. When you look at this passage from Ecclesiastes this morning, I think that's the most important part of the verse here, that last part. Did you catch what it said? A rope that is woven together of three strings is hard to break. Now, most of us have used a rope at some point in time in our lives for something, whether it's to tie something down on our cars, maybe we use it to climb something, maybe we've used it for other reasons, but I don't know about you, I've never really looked closely at a rope before. I've always kind of taken it for granted and just kind of taken the rope and used it for whatever my need was. But if you look at a rope very closely together, you will find that it has many different strands that are braided together very carefully so that it has strength together with those braids being knotted together. Individually, those strands would break and not be able to hold the weight or do the task that we want it to do. But when all those strands are woven together nice and tightly as one, you have a nice strong rope that can hold individuals when they're climbing or tie down things, that the rope is more complex and more strong than that of just a string. Think about this for a second. Would you like to go to Chickie's Rock and climb up Chickie's Rock using a rope of just a few threads or a rope that is secure and knotted together by many threads? It was very cool. About 2 years ago, we were walking down the little trail there on Chickie's Rock, and that one side where the mountain is up, and we stopped. There were about three people that were trying to climb up Chickie's Rock, and they had their conveners in, they had the rope in, and we were talking to them, and they were telling us about the materials they use and the specific type of rope they use, and that if they didn't use a specific type of rope, that the individual might fall and plunge to their death. And it was amazing watching them climb just using the strength of the rope that was holding them up. Why? Because many threads knitted together are stronger than just one. Rope is a pretty amazing tool, and we use it in everyday life. It actually dates back to the beginning of the Bible. It was a revolutionary tool that came about. It goes back as far as we can think of how ancient people would use rope and how they would build things and how they would lift building blocks up to create things in Rome and Egypt. If you remember correctly, when they were working for Pharaoh, they were using rope to lift those heavy bricks to build the buildings that Pharaoh wanted them to build, to hoist those heavy objects. And you think about in Egypt with the pyramids and how they were built. They were built with those ropes that were being pulled up with those heavy blocks, and putting it in place to get the pyramids. Ropes, if they are strong enough, can carry any sort of weight. Ropes are used for sailing, to make sure that as you're sailing, that you're able to move your sail to where it needs to go, or to tie your boat down so it doesn't go away. Ropes made sure that you could get from point A to point B on your ship. Twisting and weaving multiple strands of fibers together, making it stronger than just one piece. The first form of rope was that of grass or reeds back in the days of the Egyptians when they would weave those things together to make a rope-like substance. And as time passed, people learned how to make fiber from plants. And we learn we have what we have today because of individuals over time that have learned to make the rope strong and as durable as it is today. You see, we are like rope. We, the body of Christ, are like the rope. By ourselves, we are thin and we are frail and we can do nothing and we will break. But together, we come together, we're knitted together, we are strong together, and we can do anything together, whatever that might be. Today, when we look at the idea of the church being a rope, I want to give you three things and how we as a church are like a rope. The first is that we are stronger in Christ. We are stronger in Christ when we are knitted together as one body, as one rope. Christ begins to work through us and strengthens us as we come together being one, putting aside our differences, putting aside our ideas, putting aside our selfishness to become one with Him and one with each other so that we can be strong and strong in Christ. Philippians 4:13, my verse for life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That we as the church, no matter how small we are, how big we are, how young we are, how old we are, we can do all things through Christ if we work together and we become like a rope that is knit together and do better things for Christ. Paul was telling us to be content in all of our circumstances. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, means the fact that no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what obstacles before us, that Christ can get us through it. And with Christ, we can accomplish all things if we put our minds to it and we work together. John 15 is a very familiar passage. It's that of the Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. And Jesus said in John 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. He trims and cleans every branch that produces fruit, so they'll produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of the words I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in me. For I am the vine, and you are the branches. If any remain in me, and I remain in them, they produce much fruit, but without me, they can do nothing. Jesus drew the examples off of landscaping and off of the environment he lived on with farms. In this case, they were walking with the disciples and they were walking past a hillside that had a vineyard. And as they were doing so, Jesus began to use that illustration, the vineyard, to say that apart from me, you could do nothing, that you must abide in me. Think about the vineyard they must have seen over there, walking by, and how vast the vineyard was, how the grapevines were interwoven, the leafy branches filled with plump and juicy grapes, and how Jesus was saying, that's what it's like to abide in me. But then when you look at the main stalk and the trunk of the plant, you'll find that's what actually is planted down in the soil. That's what gives it root, and that's what allows those plump plush grapes to grow, is because of the roots in the ground giving nourishment to those leaves and to those grapes. That if it's not planted firmly in the ground, you would have no grapes, no grape juice, no wine, no grapes at the grocery store. A lot of people who are fine wine connoisseurs will talk about the fact of how the wine might taste and will give particular characteristics of the specific type of wine and the specific type of grape that wine came from the location or the geography of it. They might even tell you what type of soil that grape came from to make that wine. They pay attention to the year the wine was made because it gives different indicators of that harvest, the amount of moisture, the amount of sunlight, the amount of storms and dryness that the grapes might have had during that year. All these characteristics all flow through the vineyard and through the grapevine into the soil, making sure the grape is either going to be a wonderful, lush grape or a grape in which you cannot use and has to be destroyed. Everything about the vine influences the grape. The vine is a life source, and the branches that we see with the fruit of the grape is what comes out of the vine, the life source. And if we look at our lives, we find that if Jesus is not our life source, and we're not allowing the vine to nourish us, then we're not going to show much fruit for that in our own lives. We're not going to have those plush grapes growing on our lives, because if we're not allowing the vine to give us nourishment, then we can't expect much fruit to occur. We become disconnected. We become lost. And like those grapes, starved and die off. This is why Jesus said, remain in Him for our source and strength. To stay in Him, because He gives us the nourishment we need to be the people of God that we're called to be and to be the church He's called us to be. It also means that we're stronger in weakness. That when we're stronger in Christ, that we're stronger in our time of weakness. Well, how can we be strong in weakness, Pastor Tom? That sounds like an oxymoron. You're either weak or you're strong. They can't coexist together. But you see, they can. Because in our weakness, we can be made strong. And Paul talks about this when he talks about his thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. And he says that he was given this thorn of flesh and he begged God to take the thorn of flesh away from him three times. And God said, no, I'm not going to do that. He says, for when you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. So when you're happy, you're to brag about my strength coming through you. That you cannot live for me without me. That I want you to be reminded, Paul, of that thorn in your flesh is there because it reminds you that my grace is sufficient for you even in your time of weakness. To not rely on yourself, but to rely on me. Isn't that how the Christian life is like? That we might not have a little thorn in our flesh like Paul did, but looking at life, we might find the fact that we go through trials and we go through times where we wonder how we're going to make it and we wonder, well, what's God going to do? And God says that in those times that He is made great because His grace is sufficient and that we are reminded in those times of weakness and those times of trials and those times in which we wonder what God is doing, that God can be glorified. Because in that weakness, He can be made strong. That's what Solomon is telling us in Ecclesiastes. He says, life is meaningless without God. Paul discovered that and said, basically, everything he does is in vain if he is not doing it for the cross of Jesus Christ. That it is through you, God, that through His weakness, that He was able to be strong. You know what's interesting about the thorn in the flesh with Paul? As many would say, it was that he was not a good speaker. And I'm sure when we think about Paul, we go, what? Paul wasn't a good speaker? Paul wrote so many letters, and Paul seemed to always go on the defense for the gospel. But the theory is, when you look into this a bit more, is that the possibility of the thorn in the flesh was that Paul was not a very good public speaker. And he said, for you, God, I want to be the best public speaker I can be, so that way all can come to know you. And God says, my grace is sufficient, Paul. You don't have to be the best public speaker. Just go and share, and I'll do the rest. That Paul was frustrated because he wanted to be the best that he could be, and his ability to be a public speaker was something that he was not really good at, and God said, it doesn't matter, I'll use you anyway. Reminds us back to the rope, doesn't it? That under stress, that rope doesn't break. That under stress, that rope just gets stronger. Those knots, they get tighter. That when you think of a rope, that it doesn't break. It only gets stronger the more the stress is put on it. Whether it's a heavy load, whether it's climbing up a mountainside, whatever it might be, the more stress that's put on a rope, the stronger that rope gets. You see, in our weakness, we are made powerless, but we are made strong because of God and allowing God to flow through us and allow us to be binded together as the rope. That is when the rope is strong, and that is how we are strong as a church of Jesus Christ, when we come alongside of each other and we're knitted together and we work together in the midst of our pain and our hardship, that we're stronger together, allowing Christ to work through us, to use us, that we step up and say, you know what, I might not have much to offer, but I'll be like the widow and gave my only mite and say, you know what, this is all I have. That whatever it might be that we are called to serve, we are called to be a part of the body of Christ, we are called to be a part of that rope together. Romans 12, each one of us has a body with many parts, and all these parts have different uses. In the same way, we are many, but in Christ we are all one body. Each one is a part of that body, and each part belongs to the parts. We all have different gifts, each of us, because of the grace that God gives us. We all have something different and unique to offer to the church. You have skills that I don't have. You have skills that can make me a better pastor, a better husband, a better father. You have skills that can make individuals in this church better individuals for Jesus Christ, better individuals of the community, better individuals of the job. Because we all are different. We all are unique, and we all have different gifts. But are we sitting on those gifts and not using them because we're frustrated, we're worn out, and we say, it doesn't matter if I use them anyway? Well, then we are not a rope that's tied together strong and unified. We all have different gifts to offer, no matter how small they might be or how big they might be, that we can all come alongside of each other to build each other up, to help us grow our relationship with God and help the community in our world see who Jesus really is. Created to be in relationship with God and with each other, serving and working hard, pulling our skills together, coming together to be one unified rope. You know, I don't know about you, but I love watching old westerns. My parents would sit down on Saturdays and Gunsmoke and Bonanza would be on. And so I grew up with Gunsmoke and Bonanza, and I loved just sitting down in front of the TV watching those old westerns. And you know, if you think about that time in our country, that's a time where we were fascinated with westerns. You know, the rugged individuals that would come about and would be on the horses, and they would come and they would come to the community and rescue individuals in the community, or following the storyline or whatever it might be. We are fascinated with the fact of how people like John Wayne and Clint Eastwood and the TV show like The Lone Ranger would fascinate us, and how all of a sudden that there was this problem, and all of a sudden the problem would get solved by the end of the sitcom because they worked together and they found a way to find a solution to the problem. You know, that is a lot of what the church is like. That we're like the Wild West at times, and there's a lot of things going on, and that we can either be a part of the problem, a part of the solution, that we can come together and work together to come find a solution to fix things, or we can kind of be the villain and try to not be involved and just kind of sit back. There's always that one person, if you watch in Gunsmoke, Bonanza, or The Lone Ranger, that would just kind of sit back and watch how things would play out and let everybody else clean up the mess. We can't do that in the church, folks. We can't sit back and watch. We have to be active and involved. You see, there was something about those Westerns because they were strong leaders, individuals who wanted to get things done, individuals who didn't sit by and wait for things to get done. They were individuals who said, you know what, we're going to do whatever it takes to get done. I think about wolves, and we always think about wolves, and we hear about the lone wolf at times, but the reality is that wolves stay together in packs. You very rarely see a wolf that goes off by himself. They eat together. They sleep together. They do everything together. Because one wolf that goes off by himself is a wolf who puts himself in danger without the rest of the pack behind him. That is why you will see wolves in packs and never, rarely alone by themselves. We always talk about the lone wolf and the lifestyle of a lone wolf, or I'm a lone wolf and I just do things my way. Well, what we're saying basically is that, well, there's not going to be much success then if you consider yourself to be a lone wolf. That in order to survive, you need to be a part of the wolf pack. You need to survive and be a part of the other family of wolves to nurture you, to secure you, to be there for you. You see, we are like those wolves. We need interaction just like those wolves need. From the time we were born, we need interaction. In fact, scientists have made a fascinating discovery about the bonds between newborn babies and their mothers. The fact is that newborn babies recognize who their mothers are, and they crave that touch from their mother because of the interaction that they've had for so long in the womb, that when they're born, they crave that exterior interaction with their mother. So much so that hospitals will hire individuals to come in and cuddle with newborn babies to give moms and dads a break if they have to be there all the time. Or maybe there's not a mom because the mom gave the child up, or maybe the mom left after she had the child and that child is by itself, that hospitals will hire people to come in just to give interaction to that newborn because that newborn knows, I need interaction. It just took its first breath, but it knows, I need interaction. I can't do this alone. We are drawn together, and we are meant to be together. Do you know why social media is so popular today? Because social media connects us in ways that we never thought would connect me before. If we can't see somebody face to face, we will connect with them on social media to find out what's going on in their life, to find out what they're doing, how their family is, because they might be across the country and we're not able to see them, but social media engages us in that relationship because we want to know, we want to be connected with them. Connection and relationships, not a luxury, folks, it's a need. We are hardwired from the day that we are born and take our first breath in this world to have a relationship. We come together and we find our place together here in the body of Christ, finding our connection to God and finding our connection to each other, to be accepted, to be made stronger in our weakness, and that way we can go and make a difference. You know, folks, the church isn't perfect. Because why? We're made up of imperfect people. We are still all sinners, and we are imperfect people. And yes, the church is not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes as the church. We're going to do things at the church that we might not be proud of at times because we're imperfect people that are part of this church. You see, what's interesting, if you look at Scripture, and if you even know people, that some of the healthiest families have some dysfunction at times. As a bishop would tell us, that conflict is not a bad thing at times to have because conflict brings the family closer together because you have to work together to resolve something, to solve a problem, and to really be one together. Folks, we might have the best intentions as Christians, and we have the best intentions of being the church, but we're not perfect. We're going to mess up. There are going to be things that might not go the way that we want it to go. Decisions might be made that we might not like or say, well, I don't like that decision or I don't like this. We might say something sometime that we might regret. We have the best intent, but we're not perfect. And that's the beauty of church, folks, because the church is a hospital for sinners. It's a place for you and me to come so that we can be healed and forgiven and restored and move on in our life. That's what the church is, a hospital for sinners. People that are messed up like me, folks. That's what the church is all about. That when you come to church, you don't focus on those interactions in which sometimes we might disagree or we might not get things right or whatever it might be. No, as the church, we come together and we focus on the fact that we can receive grace here. That this is a safe place. And that no matter what mistakes we might have made, that you can receive grace. No matter what, that we'll be treated with humility. That nobody is above anybody in this church. That no matter who we are, that we are humble, realizing that God is the only one who deserves our worship. And that we all are in need of God's grace. That this is a place where we can apologize and seek forgiveness when we've messed up and say it's okay. We can move forward instead of holding grudges, instead of holding things from the past. It's a place in which ultimately we come, we love, and we serve each other so when we go in the world, people can see something different about us. A power where God's Spirit can be displayed through us and His imperfection of the church. Because why, if we abide in Christ, then through Him we are made perfect. As we close today, think about that rope. Think about those woven strings together. As we've lived through some trying times the last 2.5 years, and we're living through those trying times now, think about how we've realized that we have a weakness and we've been vulnerable because we haven't been together, because we haven't been relying on each other and relying on God. We've been trying to do it by ourselves. That today it's time for us to join our cords together to be one strong rope in the body of Christ. Continuing to pursue God's love, deepening our relationship with Him and with each other, and taking that next step of joining together in worship in person and getting involved in doing things. Folks, if you want to have a Sunday school or a small group, you can do it. You can do it. It's not difficult. You just get together and you can just talk about things that have gone your week or look at a scripture, whatever it might be. You don't have to have all the answers to do these things. You don't have to have all the abilities. That's part of this journey, is saying, we're all in this together. But so many times we'll say, well, I don't have the experience. I don't have the expertise. Or, well, you know what, I don't know my Bible that well. And that's good. I'm glad you don't know your Bible that well, because you know what? I don't know my Bible that well after going to school for my degree, for becoming a youth pastor and getting a major in Bible when I was in college, was going to get my master's in divinity. That I still know my Bible very well, that I'm learning it every day, and God's revealing something new to me every day. Because if we say, well, if I know my Bible, then we've said I've arrived. That's the purpose of growing together, is saying, I don't know my Bible, but you know what? We're going to learn it together, and we're going to do it together, because we're growing in this place. I want to encourage you to think about that. It can be done in your house. Just get together and have people over for dinner, and you can talk about spiritual things and things you're struggling with. That's a small group, folks. It doesn't have to be you sit down and do a Bible study. It can be the fact that you sit around a table and you're breaking bread together, just like they did in the Acts. You're having dinner and you're talking about things, and you're talking about how you can pray and support for each other. You see, small things that we take for granted. Maybe this morning you know somebody that has not come back since the pandemic. Maybe it's time to reach out to them and say, you know what, it's time you come back. It's time that you come back and you be a part of the church again. We all know who those individuals are. We know individuals because of different things that have occurred in this church, that changes that had to be made because of COVID, that said, you know what, that's not for me, that aren't going anywhere. They're just sitting at home, not going anywhere. But we can reach out to them and say, you know what, forget about the past experience you had. Why don't you come and give another shot? Reaching out to them and giving them that invite to come and join us, so that we can be a cord together and be a strong rope together. Because by themselves, they are frail. And by themselves, it's going to be hard to move forward. So I encourage you this morning to be thinking about individuals that you can reach out to and say, just give it one more shot. It's all I want. Think about individuals that you know in your community that might want to come and have never been invited to church. And think about ways that you might be able to get involved and do little things throughout the church. You see, this is a place where we are welcome no matter who we are. We're a place where God's grace is sufficient. And we are a place in which that every time we come together in this worship, that it is my hope and my prayer that when we leave, that we are stronger together because of our time we've had in this place worship. That is what the church is all about. To abide in Christ so that we can be stronger together, so that we can go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. But we have to decide whether or not we want to be a part of that rope, or just kind of do things on our own.
I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do here. How about you? So please stand, and I hope each of you can be thinking about, you know, what is it that the Lord's given you? What gift has he given to you that you can give and help to build this body of Christ up here at Columbia United Methodist Church? This is your church, and it's God's church, and we're going to work together to reach the world. So the next song here is called Build Your Kingdom Here, and may that be your prayer, and it's just saying, Lord, I'm available for what you want me to do. Okay.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captives' hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace, we lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. And show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray.
So we need to allow God to build his kingdom first in us, and then to build his kingdom in our homes with our families, and then in our church and to all those around us. I hope that that can be your prayer, and that you can give yourself to the Lord this morning and say, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to do.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. And set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray.
You know, Pastor Tom, well, what do I have to offer the church? I mean, what can I give? Well, let me give you one small example. Just like watering flowers in the front. If you come by church and you have a water jug out there on the table and you're here, fill up with water and water the flowers. That's a really simple way of serving the church. There's not a lot of complex things. We make it very complex on what we have to do this and that. There's little things like that. Picking up trash around the area outside. Maybe it's just saying, hey, Pastor Tom, who needs a phone call this week? I'll be glad to call him and check in with him along with you. There's really simple things we can do to serve and be involved with things that don't take a lot of our time and energy, but allow us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. It's time that we stop making excuses. And it's time that we say, okay, God, no more excuses. I want to build your kingdom here. Because it starts with you. It starts with me. This is your church. This is our church. And the only way we're going to continue to build this church is we do this together and we're strong like a rope together, one by one, coming and weaving ourselves together in the body of Christ and God and serving and being strong together. As you go this week, may the grace of God and the peace of God go with you. May you leave this place going to serve, that others might come to know Christ through you. Amen and amen.